The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Doug Bursch joins us from Seattle. He is the pastor of Evergreen Foursquare Church in Auburn, Washington, the host and producer of the Fairly Spiritual Show radio program and podcast. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, as it goes on. Doug's got a new workout a little later on this year in April, Posting Peace. Pastor, welcome. Very good to see your face.
Oh, so glad to be back on the Kathy and other guys show. That's awesome. It's great.
Doug's my favorite guest. I can't believe we don't talk to him more.
I think you're breaking up a little bit there, my friend.
It really is. Anyway, listen, we're broadcasting on 101.5 Word FM, 96.5 FM, and 730 AM WPIT. But if you'd like to watch what's going on, you can go on Facebook Live right now. Log on to Facebook, go to The Ride Home with John and Kathy. You can see Doug Bursch's face for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no one told me they'd see me. I should have shaved.
All right. You're out there.
You should have shaved, right? I can see that's priority one for you. All right, Doug. So let's talk about living online. You're on Twitter a lot. We're online a lot. And the three of us have survived, though I don't know how emotionally healthy we are.
Yeah. You know, I wrote this book, Posting Peace, because I think everyone realizes that something is happening on social media and it might not be good. Everybody seems to be more angry, right, divisive, devouring, polarizing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to figure out why. So I did a lot of doctoral research on this, but I wanted to write a book that was practical on why is social media dividing us. And I think one of the things we forget is the technology itself is influencing how we communicate. It's not just that everybody's become bad people, but that the way we use the technology and the way the technology forms us, it's polarizing us. And we need to be aware of how the technology is polarizing us if we're going to not be so polarized.
Okay, that's good. So then drill down into that a little bit, Doug. I mean, how are we being utilized by the technology?
Well, one of the things, just at a practical level, social media is it's a disincarnate or a non-in-the-flesh embodied reality. We're online, we're separate from each other. And that distance, and particularly when it comes to arguing, we usually do written stuff. We usually write our fights out. And when you write something out, you all know that what's the struggle with writing? You can't get tone. You can't get facial cues.
Right.
All the things that you do in order to actually see if someone's angry at you, if they're trying to have a healthy discussion with you, or if they're trying to attack you, all of those cues that we get in one-on-one communication are lost on the internet. It also uses only certain parts of our brains. We have right brain, left brain, and that's a little simplistic, but there's a reality that written communication, we kind of process it through one part of our brain. And often we don't process it through the other parts of our brain that deal with big picture, creative solutions, larger context. So even the way that we argue online is kind of moving us into a direction that leads to polarization. And those are just some of the many issues that we face with social media.
All right. Now, so Doug, I follow you on Twitter and I see your interactions. And what I take from how you communicate is that you really double down hard on being a kind and open presence. I mean, you make a point of it.
Yeah,
so
really
if
annoying.
Something comes up and, you know, someone's angry, you come back around again and open up the conversation to make sure people know your intentions.
Yeah, well, it's probably because I'm just really insecure and I want everyone to love me. But as radio hosts, you know what that's like. But,
yeah, for sure.
For me, one of the big pictures, which might seem obvious to people, but the Bible's pretty clear that all of us are called into the ministry of reconciliation. And that's not just racial reconciliation. That's the big picture reconciliation that my job and everything I do is to bring people closer to God and to bring us closer to each other, to tear down every dividing wall of hostility. There's something with social media where people forget that. My goal of interacting with anyone, whether friend or foe, is for them to be brought closer to God and for us to be in a closer, meaningful relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not for me to be right. It's to be reconciling. And those are different issues because I can be right yet cause a greater divide between myself and the person I'm arguing with. And definitely we're supposed to contend for truth, but even contending for truth, the purpose is I believe someone is lost and I love them and I want to bring them into the light. I don't want to just win the argument so they can go away and our team wins. And I deal with this as well. Our political polarizing reality is sometimes we treat our Christian communication like a partisan thing. It's we mm-hmm. want our side to win, your side to lose. We get enough votes, you don't get enough votes. That's not a Christian perspective. A Christian perspective is I love you. I believe I have something to bring you. So even if we're fighting here, my goal is for you to feel the love of God and for us to also, at some level, at least know that we love each other. At least that's the goal. Doesn't always happen.
Well, hear, hear. I mean, that is not a perspective that is shared by, I don't think, very many people in social media.
Yeah, it sounds revolutionary, Doug.
Yeah, I'm so shocked by it. I might have to take a break. Okay, so let me ask you then, let's take a church-centric example, which is, you know, those of us who are on Twitter, we see that there are, you know, certain blow-ups that happen, you know, every few days. There's like a big issue that comes up and everybody's arguing over. So, you know, off and on for the last couple of years, it's been, you know, the role of women in the church or how women are treated by people who are in leadership in certain particularly conservative denominations, right? So that flares up, right? And so it could be an article that comes out or someone's testimony or something like that. And all of a sudden, the two sides are like at it, right? So there's one side that's defending complementarianism, that women and men have specific gender roles, and you can't get out of that. And if you're out of that, then you're extra biblical. And then you have the other side saying, oh my gosh, don't you see how Jesus treated women? Blah, blah. Anyway, so that's so talk about that. That's an intra-church squabble. How have you seen that handled?
Well, first, they need shorter names than complementarianism and egalitarianism. Those are way too long and hard to tweet.
That's confusing.
But the thing to me is, again, what's the goal of my communication? And this is one of the strengths of social media is we can unite with people who are like us. And that's not a bad thing. We can find, you know, people who've been abused by the church can find other people who've been abused and they can come together in a commonality. But what happens is we're starting to unite with people on one issue. And it's called, it's networked individualism. It means I have an individualistic need. And so I network with people who meet my individual needs. That one need. So I believe in complete, you know, egalitarianism. So I find other egalitarian people and we unite around that one need. That's not necessarily wrong, but what happens is we don't do the difficult work of dealing with people who don't agree with us. And what we'll do is we'll just maintain our relationships based with the people who meet that one need. And so what you're finding is this segmentation where we're segmenting into these categories. So all the people believe in complementarianism, they grow in their little group and they don't need to interact with those other groups. Now, if it was an actual church where within your church body, people have these different views, your goal isn't just to be right, but to grow a healthy community.
Yeah.
So you don't leave the church, at least I hope you don't, the moment there's a disagreement, because the church has a bigger concept than just my individual needs. Social media isn't like that. We tend to use it just for my needs. And so we don't learn the difficult work of walking through a conflict, of hanging out with diverse groups and different opinions. And that part is dangerous because we're really using it kind of as a quid pro quo, or basically, if you give me what I want, I'll hang out with you. The moment you disagree with me, I can find someone else because there's thousands of other people who agree with me. And that keeps us from forming a body. It forms us into segmented groups, but not into the body of Christ.
Pastor Doug Persh is with us, posting peace, why social media divides us and what we can do about it. So Doug, you know, terms of service or rules of engagement, whether it's, you know, Facebook or Twitter or wherever you're hanging out, I mean, you know, there's a basic rules of decency that are expressed, you know, from a corporate perspective. You're talking about something, of course, much deeper about our own involvement, our own engagement, and it starts from a biblical perspective. So before you even go online, do you, have you in the past, while you were first starting this engine up, thinking about this consciously, and now it's become sort of second nature to you, something that's, you know, intentional in its prospect?
Well, it's really not second nature for me in that it's a constant struggle. And the book has, every chapter has these posting peace challenges where you can find better ways to communicate online and be very practical with those things. But for me, I have to have some intentional principles. And I had this as a radio host. One of the things I always tried to talk about someone as if they were in the room with me.
Yeah.
And that changes, whether it was a celebrity. I know there's a documentary on Britney Spears recently, and it made me feel good that when I was on the air, I talked about her as a real person, someone mm-hmm. who'd come to my church. And so even if I'm going to do a corrective, I'm talking in a way that I would do if they're in the room. Well, for social media, that's huge, because we can dehumanize. The nature of it is dehumanizing. We get hurt. And that I have to have that principle whenever I go in. I have to have the principle of truth and love, which sounds so cliche, but it's one thing to communicate truth, but truth without love ceases being truth. Mm-hmm. And love without truth ceases being, truth. That love and truth must go hand in hand. And if I don't have those intentions in place, I'm just going to gravitate towards the chaos. The other one I would challenge you, and you mentioned this earlier, Kathy, about the big conflicts that occur online, the big trending topics.
Yeah.
We need to trend local. And what I mean by that is whenever you see some national thing, try to live something out with integrity in your real relationships. Instead of arguing about racism online, go find a Black pastor and become a friend with them, or find ways to connect in your culture to see how it's lived out on one-on-one, face-to-face stuff. And that'll help you with how you interact online.
Oh my gosh, that is so good. I can't tell you how, this is something that John and I keep coming back to, how drained we get by issues on social media, so much so that when the time comes for us to be able to actually go talk to our neighbor or go do something, I'm pooped. Like I can't, I don't have anything left. Leery.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can say that word on the air.
No, I don't. I got a special dispensation before the show begins.
Sorry there.
No, it is. It's we use all our energy, and there's people been entrusted to our care. There's neighbors we can connect with. And again, if someone says to me, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I say, well, why don't you go ask your Black pastor friend, or why don't you go ask? And then you really see the relational divides. Are people really engaging these principles they're tweeting out in their regular life? And then if they're not, then they're just people tweeting. And I don't want to be that. I want to be someone who's living these things out in my relationship so that it has an integrity on my online persona.
Right. And that's part of the problem, right? Because in this day and age, everyone apparently around us is an expert on race relations, or everybody is already an epidemiologist, right? I mean, the experts have risen within the deep bowels of my casual reading, and anything that, is from that.
That's because you've, quote, done your research.
Right.
Well, everyone's become a talk show host. I'll just say this. Like, and I know you guys have a different form of talk show, but most talk shows, I used to say I was a good talk show host because I have an opinion about anything, even if I know nothing about it. Now, I've done doctoral work on this area, but the reality is we're all our mini talk show Jesuses, and we have an opinion about everything, and trending topics are setting the agenda. And so if we're not intentional about the reason we exist on this planet, we're going to just get swayed by whatever the trending aggressions are that are out there. And by the way, I do talk about justice and dealing with injustice. It's not just opting out and being a friendly guy that doesn't offend anyone. Yeah. We need to know why we're offending people, why we're speaking the truth, and what is the purpose of our communication.
That's good. Doug Bursch, Posting Peace. You said that it comes out in April sometime.
Yeah, it comes out on April 20th, but it's more anointed if you pre-order. So if you buy it right now.
Good. That's what I want to do.
All right. We're drumming up pre-order sales for Doug Bursch here on the ride home.
Hey, listen, we only have a couple minutes left, Doug. But in our remaining, first of all, I think that I really want to give you a lot of kudos on this book. Everything that you're saying, I'm like completely behind 100%. I think it's terrific. But perhaps on a more important note, you've traveled the world with John Hall. And I just wondered if you might take a little bit of time and, I don't know, just, give us some impressions, some hot takes, anything about John.
If there is some sort of rule of not to do something, like don't pet the animals, John's going to push the limits of that rule. He's going to find a way to maybe I'll go and see if I can pet that cow.
Right.
So at customs, we have to say, did you touch any animals? And we're like, well, sort of, So that's John. John showed me how to deal with tainted coffee in Ethiopia. I mean, there's so many amazing things that he showed me how to do. He was the one I went to if I needed to get around a rule or find a way to exist in a situation where I was incredibly uncomfortable.
But it was grace-filled, Doug. It was.
I love you, John. And I mean that with all my heart. And both of you, what you're doing here, that's a rarity to be on the air this long, to have the integrity of Christ, a Christ-like attitude. Well done. I know how hard it was for me. And I appreciate the fact that you're on the air, and your listeners should send supportive emails, because the negative emails come. I know that. So send support. That's another way to be able to help people.
Thank you, Doug.
That's very kind of you. Thank you, Doug.
Doug Burke.
Well, I wish we had more time to talk about tainted coffee, but that, you know, the radio strictures do apply to us. Anyway, that's Doug Burke, co-pastor of Evergreen Foursquare Church, Auburn, Washington, host and producer of the Fairly Spiritual Show radio program and podcast. The new book coming out in April, Posting Peace, Why Social Media Divides Us and What We Can Do About It. Pre-order now.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Find him on Twitter, because he is what he says he is.
I mean,
it's the real, it's the real thing. It is.
Love you, guys.
Always a pleasure, Doug. Love you. Thanks an awful lot.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.